In our walk with God, we can begin to understand who He is. Take your Bibles and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Verse number 1, furthermore. In other words, in connection with chapter number 3. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk, and to please God, so ye would, what?
Abound.
How? More and more. He comes right off of chapter number 3, and he's back at it again in chapter number 4, and he says, we told you how to walk. Little Braden, how exciting it is to see him, but he's not quite at that stage yet, is he? Not walking yet. But it won't be long. Learning how to walk and to please God. I love this word because it literally means to sail away, to weigh anchor, and to lift up and to please God. That's what he's calling us to do. He's calling us to worship him. That's why we came today. We didn't come to see the Merrills. We didn't come to hear the choir. We didn't come even to talk with one another. We came to worship God. And we came to please God. And he says, if we understand that, then we begin to abound more and more. This changes the way we function, how we interact with everyone else around, and what a thrill it is just to be able to connect with some of you who are getting married. I've met several couples now. They're getting married. I'm telling you, they've got the days worked out, and now to find out that their sister's getting married. That's pretty exciting. And some of you going to ministries and other places, that's thrilling. And some of you in your daily location ministering in a very special way. And to see Pastor Jim and Missy here in this place, it seems out of place, but I'm glad for you it's in place. And we've been praying for that and seeing God work in their lives in such a special way. Pray for them this week as they seek for God's will concerning their housing. I'm telling you, this is a neat thing to see God opening doors for people and using them in a very special way. And so I want you to take your Bibles and go today, as we think of worship, back to the middle of it, Psalm chapter number 92. Psalm chapter number 92. This is a psalm of worship. It was a psalm for the Sabbath day, which was the worship day for the Jewish people. And in this psalm, I love it because it starts with praise. If you're coming to worship, it starts with praise. Praise to God, he says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto his name. O Most High, thank you, Doc, for leading the choir and our singing today. What a blessing that was just to hear those words about our great Savior and that cross. And he says, upon an instrument of 10 strings, some of you violins have got to add a few more, stick them on there, get them in there somewhere. And upon the psaltery, and upon the harp with a solemn sound, nice work, pianists and organists and all of you with the harp on the inside. That's what this is in here. It's exciting. Nice harp. Sounds much better when the piano pedal is sustained, doesn't it? And I love that. He says, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands, O Lord. How great are thy works. You're going to notice his praise right away. He says in verse 2, it's his loving kindness. It's his faithfulness. It's his gladness that he brings into our life. It's his greatness. All of that is God's. And so we give him praise. But look at verse 6. He says, not only when we come to worship do we have praise, but we get a perspective on life. A perspective on life. Hey, you and I are probably wondering, how in the world is this world going to continue with some of the weird stuff that's happening in it? You say, I don't understand, God. How do you let this stuff go? What's going on in our culture and what's happening all around this globe? Listen, you know when you come to worship God, you get a perspective on that. Verse number 6, he says, a brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as a grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. O thou Lord, art most high forever. Forevermore. He says, this is what you've done. God, you help us to gain a perspective. We begin to understand it. And he goes on to say, we also find a purpose for living. And I love in the end of this passage, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. We were in South Carolina last week. Their state tree is the palm tree. I'm still trying to find one other than on the southern border coming up 95. But they say the reason was because of one of the forts in one of the early wars. Actually, they put palm trees around it, and they were so soft wooded that they shielded the fort from the bombs that came in, from those mortars that came in. And that was the reason why it's the palm tree. He says the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And there those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth what? Fruit in old age. You know what? You start to get a purpose for living, don't you? You start to see this. You start to connect with this. And he says, they shall be fat and flourishing. Some of you say, I've been looking for that verse for a long time. Finally, a scriptural reason for it. That's what it is, a purpose for life. There's no doubt about it. And, people have all kinds of greetings. How do you greet somebody? When somebody says, how are you? What do you say? Fine. That's fine. Okay. It's okay. I'm okay. How are you doing? I know you like to say just praising the Lord, don't you? Praising the Lord. Okay? Somebody else says, I was listening to Dave Ramsey, and so now I say, better than I deserve. Yeah. You don't have to listen to Dave Ramsey to be better than you deserve. You know what I figured out? I figured out, since I read this verse and I said, Lord, you know what? I get tired of just doing the same old thing all the time. Somebody asked me, you know what I'm going to tell them? I'm old, fat, and happy. You know what? Every time I say that, I get a response. I always get a response like, and you say, wait a minute, I'm not old. And I'm not fat, and I'm not happy. But I sure want to be someday. Yeah, you're going to be someday if Jesus tarries. There's no doubt about that. And the more I looked at this passage, I said, God, you know, there's a lot here for us. And my son, he said to me, Dad, he said, I was trying to work for my brother up, who's a program director up in a Christian camp in Virginia, and he said, they're doing a farm theme up there, and he said, I found this picture. He says, what do you think of this, Dad? And I said, man, that's a classic there. I love that. Why every man needs a wife. That is great. That's what you call a balanced marriage. You know what I'm talking about? Hey, listen, I don't know all about it, but I'm just telling you, these are exciting days. He says here, if you are going to live for God, he says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. And he was talking about getting into the courts of God and flourishing among God's prisons. And this is what I'm suggesting. I'm glad you're here today, because you get planted in God's house, and guess what can happen? Your faith can grow. Because faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. That's why I've been listening on my phone, in my app, when I take my morning walks or my morning bike ride. And I love to listen through the Bible several times now. Just listening to the Bible. Because that listening helps me. And then I get an idea and I go, wow, I better go back and study that. And so I get in there listening to it and get planted in the house of God. And every time you come to this place, this house of God, where God is worshipped, then your preacher gets up and he preaches the Bible. Aren't you glad you have a preacher that preaches the Bible? Don't take it for granted. You know, all over the country today, there are people who are going to go into a church building like this and they'll never once open the Bible. In fact, if you were to drive down the street, you're going to see people going in and they're not carrying their Bibles. It doesn't matter to them. They'll read a denominational paper. They'll come up with some other thing that might be flowery, but it's not going to be the Word of God. And this is what God has promised to bless. So you thank God for a preacher who's willing to stand up and preach the Bible. And if you don't like it, that's tough. You listen to what God says, because it's pretty tough. One lady in a grocery store I was talking to about the cantaloupes. Boy, you get a good smell there. And I'm just talking to her, and we got to talking, and she said something about how these cantaloupes were so unique. And I said, yeah, God's amazing the way he made that. And she says, are you a preacher? I said, yeah, I am. She says, well, you know, I used to go to church, but I don't go much anymore. And I said, well, I didn't say anything about church, ma'am. I was just talking about Caleb's. But see, it just kind of connected for her. And so all of a sudden she starts talking and she starts asking questions. And I said, so what church do you attend? Oh, I don't do it much. She said, yeah, she said, I found one that I just couldn't feel comfortable. And I said, ma'am, you know what? When you get under the sound of God's word and the preaching of the preacher who's anointed by the Spirit of God, and you get the fire of God in your bones, he said, you're not going to be comfortable. She said, you know what, sir? You're right. She said, I like it when the preacher steps on my toes. And if I'm too comfortable when I go to church, I don't even want to be in there. I said, well, that's a flip-flop, isn't it? Yeah. But I'm just telling you, you ought to be looking for God to do something in your heart. You ought to be looking for God to change your life. Things in the world are going to be different the way they are until you get a perspective of who God is. And then you find out what he says. And you know what? It's different than what the newspaper's saying. Have you figured that out? And it's beautiful. He says, listen, get planted in the house of God. And when you get planted in the house of God, then your family's going to get planted in the house of God. And that's going to be good for the next generation and the next generation to follow. He said, man, you don't understand, man. We got kids. I know. I had 6 of them. I got a little experience. They're all different. We haven't figured it all out. We got a lot to learn. We keep learning. Hey, those of you who have kids that are getting older, have you figured this out? You used to pray for your kids when they were smaller, but when they get older, it takes more time to pray. I mean, there's more things going on than ever before. You know, when they were small, they didn't always want to be in church. You say, man, they just don't sit very well. They just don't participate in the service. They just don't get along. I just can't figure it out. Hey, listen, I'm just telling you what we did. We take them to church, and if they acted up, we took them outside. You know what I'm talking about? And then, as a parent, I did what parents are supposed to do. Correct their children.
Amen.
Yeah. I like what James Dobson said. He said, correction is something you do for your child, not to your child.
Right.
Yeah, that's very good. And that's what the Bible talks about. You'll notice that throughout the scripture, especially in Proverbs, it talks about the rod of correction. Correction. And there's a distinction. I'm not talking about abuse. I'm just talking about correction. Loving correction. Not in anger. It's about helping your child to learn what's good for him. Like setting broccoli in front of him instead of pizza every night. You know what I'm saying? You're learning that. You're learning the values of these things. And you know what we do then? We bring our children back into the service. You know what? They only went out a few times before they figured out it was better being in than being out. Yeah, all mama.
You know what, honey? You learned that by example.
I know.
Because when you were about 2 years old, we were in a church that was about 4 times as large. My husband was assistant pastor, and it had windows just like this, but we didn't have air conditioning 50 years ago.
Yeah.
And you were misbehaving.
Oh, I never knew that.
Your dad was up on the platform, but I wasn't.
Yes.
And we just paraded right out the door, and we went outside and took care of things.
Oh, good.
And brought you back. The only thing I didn't know was that the windows were all open.
Oh, yeah. That's something. You know. The windows. Hey, listen. A parent needs to do what he needs to do, but get your children planted in the house of God. And get your grandchildren planted in the house of God and help them to understand the value of that planting as they learn to get the word of God in their hearts. And he says, you're going to get planted there. And he said, they shall still bring forth fruit. There's going to be a productivity. There's going to be a productiveness that happens in your life when you're worshiping God. They're going to bring forth fruit. As I was reading this last week, back in the Old Testament, and God was saying to the children of Israel, he said, listen, you can plant the trees, but don't eat them the first year, or the second year, or the third year. They're not ready for that yet. But you know what happens? The older you get, the bigger the tree gets, the more fruit it ought to have. In other words, you and I ought to keep on bearing fruit and be more fruitful. Out in Florida, we were ministering in a church near Leesburg, Florida, and I got to out behind the church, and I said, son, look at that. There's an orange tree out there on the property line, and that is gorgeous. Let's go over there and see what's going on. So we went over there, and we picked an orange right off the tree. I thought, why doesn't anybody pick this tree? I mean, this is a find. I immediately ripped open the peel, and stuck one of those little sections in my mouth. Bitter? Oh, that was terrible. All of a sudden it made sense to me. I started asking the natives. I said, what caused that? They said, well, sometimes if there's a problem and it comes, the tree comes out below the graft, sometimes that will happen. Sometimes if the trees never get picked, then all the oranges go down and causes the ground to get acidic and it'll kind of ruin the tree from this. I said, that's amazing. I don't understand it. Bitter. You know what I don't want to be when I get older? I don't want to be bitter. I want to be fruitful. I want my children to be fruitful. I want the things that happen in my life to be fruitful. I want them to continue on. He says, they shall bring forth fruit in old age. Some of you are young, but you're going to get old. Did you know that? There's a few of them here that used to be young, and now they've gotten old. The Bible talks about the hoary head, the white hair. Some of them have got it. I'm getting it. I noticed some of those coming out somewhere on your chin yesterday, and I said, wow, there's a young man, but he's maturing. I like that. Yeah. Getting old. Hey, you know you're getting old when the gleam in your eye is a reflection off your bifocals. You know what I'm talking about? You know when you're getting old, when you sit down in a rocking chair and you can't get it going. When your knees buckle and your belt won't. You know you're getting old when you stick your teeth into a steak and they stay there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You just know it. These ladies down in Florida a few weeks ago, they're talking, they're going, I'm just getting older all the time, and I feel so bad I can hardly even lift my coffee cup anymore. And the other one said, I know what you mean. I've taken so many pills, I'm so dizzy, I hardly know what time of day it is. The other one says, my back is so bad, I can hardly get to the table to have my coffee. And the other lady was sitting there, and she says, well, at least one thing, we're all getting old, but we can all still drive. Oh, how scary is that? I get out of my motorhome and then I see another guy over there and he gets out, he barely moving. I'm going, we just went down the road together 65 miles an hour, you know. One guy said, he said, I learned from a buddy how to tell if your spouse is getting old. He said, try this on your wife. He said, start about 30 feet away and then ask them a question. And then if they don't respond, you just move closer. And then you'll know how old they're getting based on their hearing. You know, whether they're moving in or moving out. And so he decided to try it. So he went into the house and he says, honey, what's for supper? No response. So he went into the kitchen area and he goes, honey, what's for supper? No response. Goes right up to about 5 feet away. Honey, what's for supper? She looks at him irritatedly and says, I told you 3 times, chicken and mushroom.
You'll catch on to that one after a while.
It's okay. Hey, listen, when you start growing old and you start to get a little more flourishing and you get a little more hefty, hey, listen, don't worry about it. One lady's looking in the mirror and she says to her husband, she said, honey, I feel old and fat. Tell me something to encourage me. Tell me something. I mean something that'll brighten my day. He said, honey, your eyesight's good. Yeah.
Hey, you never know what's going to happen, but you're going to get there one of these days unless Jesus comes. And I love this because he says, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. That means you don't have to give up. You can keep on doing it.
And he says, they shall be fat. This is a great word. It means rich and fertile. By the way, this is the same word that's used back in Numbers chapter number 4 when it talks about the altar, and they put the fat on the altar and then they would burn it as a sacrifice unto God. And when they did that, then they would have to remove the ashes from off the altar. You say, what's so big about that? Because I think we learned from Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's the thinking thing to do. It's not the easy thing, but it's the thinking thing to do when you understand that God wants to do something in your life. He doesn't want you to be conformed to this world. He wants you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
That's what he's looking for. Oh, I'm telling you, that altar's getting exciting. Did you hear just a few weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, over in Israel, the Temple Institute announced that the brazen altar is now ready. It's ready for the sacrifices to be taken place in the third temple. You say, well, third temple? Yep, there's going to have to be one. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, because the man of sin, the son of perdition, is going to sit in the temple. There's going to have to be. You say, where are they going to put it? In the Dome of the Rock on the Temple Mount? Yep, there's room. Don't you worry, God has a plan. It's all working according to his will. And this altar is amazing. It's 16 foot high and 52 and a half feet square, as it were, almost square. It has a ramp on one side, and it has several spots for the three altar fires that have to be burning. And the neat thing is that it's all disassemblable and reassemblable so it can go there. You say, well, what good is it going to do? Because when those sacrifices are reinstituted again and temple worship starts, which you can get on templeinstitute.org, and you can look and see all the furniture is done. It's ready to go. We've got people in line from the Levitical priesthood already, from the Jewish line, that are ready to move into that place. We're looking for the ashes of a red heifer. There is one. It's in America. It's under scrutiny by Israel and those who are in charge of that. Numbers chapter 19, there's going to have to be a red heifer. It's going to be slain. It has to have the right kind of things to purify the instruments of worship. It's exciting to see all of that happening. But I'm just telling you, get your body on the altar and give it to God and see what happens when you let him have control. And then notice, he says it shall be fat and flourishing. Flourishing. Hey, that doesn't mean you're just giving up. That means that you're going forward. The word here means green. I like green stuff, don't you? I like this spring time of the year. It's starting to turn green again. And I love to see that happen, to flourish. Hey, you say, listen, I'm getting a little older, and I don't know. Is there anything that I can do that would make a difference? And yeah, there is. I read about a man by the name of Dr. Charles McCoy. He was a retired pastor from Oyster Bay, New York. Baptist preacher. He retired. He had done a lot of study. He had 7 degrees behind his name. But when he retired, he said, you know what, I just don't feel fulfilled. He said, I've had a good life. But he said, I haven't won too many people to the Lord. I want to do something in my life that will count for eternity. A man came up to him who was a missionary in India, and he said, have you considered going to India? Dr. McCoy, 74 years old now, white-haired, 6'4". He said, no, I never have. I've never been out of the States. I don't have much money. I don't know exactly how that would possibly work. I just don't see that happening at all. But God kept using that seed thought in his heart. And finally, he announced he was going to do it. He was going to leave and go to India. He decided he would take just a few things, his Bible, his passport, and just his billfold. As people heard he was going, they said, what are you doing, Dr. McCoy? I mean, what if your health fails? And what if you die in India? And you know what he said? These are his words. It's just as close to heaven from there as it is from here. Man, I'm telling you, that impacted me. And I said, just as close to heaven from there as it is from here. So he got on a plane, and for the first time, he flew out of the States and flew to India. And when he got there, the man who had told him to come had stayed in the States, so he wasn't there. His billfold and his Bible and his visa were all quickly pickpocketed. He lost all of those. He had nothing but a little slip of paper that had clipped out of a magazine of a missionary that supposedly lived in Bombay. And so he went to their house. They didn't know what to do with it, but they said, you can stay here for a couple of days. And so on the third day, he said, I'm going to see the mayor of Bombay. And they said, don't do it. We've tried for years to get in there. We've never gotten an audience with him. He said, I'm going. I believe God wants me to go. He went in there. He talked to the secretary, and he handed her his card. She went into another room. She came back, and she said, come back at 3 o'clock. He came back at 3 o'clock. Evidently, these people had decided that because of his white hair, tall stature, distinguished-looking gentleman he was, and all the degrees after his name, that he was a very important man, and so they decided to have a celebration in his honor. And at 3 o'clock, they opened the doors, and all of the bigwigs from the city came to hear what this man from America had to say.
They said, tell us what you want to say. He said, I didn't know what to say, so I just gave my testimony and told what God had done in my life. He said at the end of his half-hour speech, they all politely clapped. But one man with a stunning uniform, a military uniform, came up and said, would you give that talk to my men? He was the leader of what would be our equivalent there of West Point here in America. And he went to speak with the military guys there. And from there, it went from one thing to another. He went to Egypt and he started a church in Calcutta. And then he went to Hong Kong and one thing after another. He didn't have much money. But he said he had an enthusiasm and a joy that continued to motivate him like he had never had before in his life as he was serving the Lord and leading people to Christ. And finally, 14 years later, when he was getting ready to speak, he pulled into this hotel. His taxi cab driver brought him in. He said, I'm going to speak tonight. Pick me up at such and such a time. He dropped dead and never came out alive. But you know what? It's as close to heaven from India as it is from here. Still flourishing. What are you going to do in your latter days? Question is, what are you going to do in this day? Did you miss one little word I want you to see? Verse number 14. They shall, next word, what?
Still.
Do you understand something? You can't still be going. You can't still be fruitful. You can't still be fat. You can't still be flourishing unless you get on with it now. And you start serving God now. And once you get down, the next time, over the hill, next year, next decade, you can still be going it, but you can't still be going unless you get started. And I'm going to tell you, young people, you get started now and you keep on going and say, I'm not going to let anybody deter me. I'm not letting anybody take me going down another road. Hey, listen, I'm telling you what, there's some detours around here. Did you know that? I came up the road, what's that, Lee West Road or something like that? That is cool. West Lee? He come up over the top? Last night I had to get a little piece of email out for our summer ministry to some people in Indiana. And so we parked over at Ambassador, and I went over there to the alumni building, whatever, and I got on Wi-Fi, and I said, man, this is great. I can catch right on there. And it says, go to the information desk and get a password. That didn't happen at midnight. I don't think the information desk was open. So all of a sudden, I'm Googling on my phone, where's the nearest McDonald's? You know what it said? Boiling Springs. Take me there. Detour. And went down this other road, and I got down there, and it said road closed. I said, thank you, Lord, I'm not going that way, I'm going this way. To Boiling Springs, I ended up over to McDonald's, and everything was shut down. But you know what? I got on there, I got my Wi-Fi signal on there, and I got this thing connected. And next thing you know, I'm shipping it out to Indiana. And I came back home to my wife, and she said, honey, what took you so long? I said, well, detours. Don't let anybody detour you from going God's way. Because someday, when you get down to the end of your life, you want to look back and you want to say, I'm still going. I'm still moving on. Why? Because God's been good. Yeah. So get planted. Get productive. You say, what can I do? I still see some seats that are empty here in this church. I got praying about it yesterday. All these seats over here, all these seats, all the balcony, all the choir seats. I'm praying for that day. Praying for this day. That this church will explode. There will be so many people here that are getting saved and following Christ. And they'll just keep on moving. And you won't be able to fit in this parking lot. Can't fit now. And all the people. And God's going to keep on doing that work. Listen, because you're just decided that you're going to be productive and you're going to let God get the glory out of the work that's been done. That's all that matters. You say, well, I am getting older. I'm getting that old age thing. What can I do? Verse number 15. Oh, don't miss this one. To show. You said, I thought that was shoe. That whatever you want. You know what it means? To tell. When I was a kid, fourth grade, Mrs. Girton's class, she used to teach us those great songs. Great old folk songs. We used to have show and tell. Did you ever have show and tell? I remember that. It's a great word. Back in Genesis, early Genesis, remember this question. God comes to Adam and he says, who told thee that thou wast naked? Same word, told. Same one as show. Show, told. Show and tell. You know what you got a job to do? You got a presentation to give. My son is going to be a senior at Bob Jones University. We saw him yesterday. How'd your presentation go? Well, one group got up and they talked about the value of welfare. Another one got up and talked about drugs. And he said, we got up and talked about mutual aid. And he said, Dad, I like this idea. Everybody's working toward a common goal, but we've got this project going so that everybody benefits from it. Over here, we got a bunch of people, nobody's working, and they're still getting benefits from it. We got people over here that think they can get away if they just have some chemicals. I just listened to his presentation. He's so fired up about his presentation. You know what? You've got something to present. You know what it is? Look, that the Lord is upright. The word upright means straight. Look it up in your James Strong 1891 concordance. Straight. I like it. Our God is straight. In a crooked and perverse generation, in a crooked world, we got a whole bunch of people that want to get labeled. Did you know that? We got the LMNOPQQQQRSSTUs. You know, the whole list. They're all the way down the line. Yeah. I can get labeled too. Liar, thief, murderer, luster. Do all that sort of thing. I don't go around bragging about it. You know what I'm saying? We got a lot of people going, oh, it's a crooked world. Yep, it is. But we got a straight God. Aren't you glad? A God who's straight. And you can count on him. And I'm so thankful that you can. I went to Lowe's a couple weeks ago. And my son and I were looking for some fur strips. 1x2s. You know what happens when you go in there? They have them in little bundles of 12. They're wrapped with those little plastic wraps. Tight as they can. You know why they keep them wrapped? Because as soon as you take your cutter and you open that thing up, just like that, you know what happens? They go, because they're not straight. You pull one out and you look down there, boom, boom, boom. I need a straight one. Good luck. You're probably not going to find too many of them. But when you find one that's even close to being straight, you get happy. You know what I love? Our God is straight. And we need the straightness of our God in this crooked and perverse generation. He says here, but he says, he is my rock. He's solid. You can count on this. It's not wishy-washy. You don't have to be worried about every wind of doctrine because you can plant your feet on the solid rock. Solid rock, Jesus Christ. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. He's solid. Oh, you know what's better than that? He's my rock. My rock. People are still wondering what happened on that German Wings flight that's crashed into the mountains in the French Alps. Why did the pilot get locked out of the cockpit? And what was going on in this guy's mind that would cause him to go over 400 miles an hour and crash into that mountain and all those people would die? They're still trying to figure this whole thing out. But they found a little video. Did you see it or hear it? Interesting. In several different languages, on those last few seconds of the flight, there's this hubbub going on in several different languages. People are crying out, my God! My God! And my question is, I wonder, was he really their God? We have a lot of people that like to shout, oh my God, as just an exclamation. Listen, if you know Jesus, you can claim a personal connection. My rock. My God. He's our God. Hey, I like that, but this last phrase is what really thrills me. It says, and there is no unrighteousness in him. No unrighteousness in him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21. It says, he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When we were sinners and we had no way to get into God's heaven, he sent his son Jesus to this earth, the sinless Lamb of God, the Son of God, who died for your sins and mine. He loved you. He cared for you. He knows who you are. And do you know why he could be the Savior? Because there's no unrighteousness in him. Oh, there's unrighteousness in you. Admit it. Get over your cockiness and your pride. Get over all the wickedness of our self-centered thinking, even Christian mentality. Get over it and recognize we're sinners and we sin every day and we need God's help. And there's the help that we need because there's no unrighteousness in him. And he sent his son all the way to this earth to die for us that we might have eternal life. What do you present? You present a straight, a solid, sinless God to a world that desperately needs it. That's what you present. When? Now? And until you get old and fat. And then you can say, God, help me. God, I want to be happy. I'm asking you to do that. And that's what happens when we start to worship him. We have something to say. In Florida, passed by a sign. I saw the words printed on the sign. Simple. I've seen it before, but I loved seeing it right there in front of me as I'm driving by. Preach the gospel. If necessary, use words. If necessary, use words. You have something to present. This week, you have something to present. To your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, present our great God. And see what God does. Because then, maybe God works on their hearts. And then, maybe through that, they start the cycle over of praising God and getting perspective and a purpose for living. And they get planted in the house of God and become productive. And they start presenting. And the cycle continues. That is a lifelong adventure that's worth pursuing. And so if we're going to abound, we need to lift up and please God for who he is. And say, God, help me to see who I am so you get the praise and the glory. And I get right with the upright God. Father, thank you for your truth. Thank you for your word of encouragement today. Let us, I pray, understand and know your goodness.